Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Christ the King Sunday 2007.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back, and the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel, and shall be commander of Israel.'" When all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him king of Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
I rejoiced because they said to me, "We will go up to the house of the Lord." And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Jerusalem built as a city, with compact unity. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
According to the decree for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, in it are set up judgment seats, seats for the house of David.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation, and indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Thank you for joining us this week. Today it's Dawn and myself. Dawn, do you want to say hello?
Hello, everybody.
And Father Mark is not with us. He's probably out being wined and dined by all the parishioners in Newark or something like that.
Oh, boy. Sponging is more like it.
That's right. That's right. But we're here to discuss these readings that we've just heard. And before we discuss the readings, Dawn, I want to talk about a couple of things, actually. First of all, are you aware that we have now completed a full liturgical year of doing this podcast?
Oh my gosh, that seems impossible. We just started.
I know. It's our full year. This is Christ the King Sunday coming up. And it's the final Sunday of the church year. Advent starts the new church year, and we'll be celebrating Advent in a week's time. And that's actually when we started the podcast, was during Advent of 2006. So we've completed a full liturgical year. But I thought, since it is Christ the King Sunday, it might be good to begin our conversation talking a little bit about what is Christ the King Sunday, and what does it mean when we say Christ is the King, and then how do these readings that we just heard, how do they fit in with the whole concept of Christ as the King? And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that you want to share, Dawn, or do you want me just to continue?
No, you can just go ahead. You're the one in seminary.
That's right. Well, Christ the King Sunday, it's the final Sunday of the year. The church year kind of has a flow to it, where it starts with Jesus being born, and then we go through his life, his ministry. We go through the Easter season. We end with Christ the King, which is kind of the culmination of all of our Christian beliefs, in a sense, is that Christ is King of Heaven. And today's readings, though, might not make somebody think of Christ as King. I mean, you've got the readings today, especially the Gospel, with Christ on the cross. And I think that's an interesting way to begin our reflection on Christ as King, because one of the things that we know about Jesus and his ministry is a lot of times he redefines the conventional way of thinking about a lot of things, and one of them is what it is to be King. And with this image that we get from the church, from the readings today, is that to be King is not about someone who is being served or someone who is lording their authority over others, but rather it's somebody who puts his whole life at the service of other people. And that's what we see happening in the gospel. Here we've got Christ on the cross, and he's being tempted by the Roman soldiers and even by the two thieves that are crucified with him to come down from the cross. If he's the King, why can't he save himself? And ultimately, what Christ does is not come down from the cross. He actually goes to his death for us. It might not be apparent at the time that that's what he's doing, but that is what he's doing. And it gives a whole different notion of what it is to be King. King is somebody who serves or who puts their life at the service of other people. And ultimately, if we're to join in Christ in his kingship, we're to put our own lives at the service of others. So that's, I think, one of the images that we get here. It's kind of a paradox where we say, here it seems a moment of defeat for Jesus, and yet at the same time the church is celebrating this as Christ the King. You know, what's really going on there? But the reality is what it is Christ is the King, but we also have to understand that our conventional notions of kings as people who are served by all these servants and who have all this great wealth, Christ kind of flips that. He definitely has all this great wealth and everything, but the King is the person who serves.
Yeah, that is a difficult concept to grasp. Even when we're talking about we're celebrating the death of Jesus, and people get stuck on the death of Jesus, it's more than that. It's the resurrection, and he is, and I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. So here we are celebrating what could be, in the human view, just if you leave it at the end of the reading, oh my gosh, he's dying. But we see the full picture, and that's what we celebrate. It's the end. When I was reading the second reading today, it's sort of the other perspective, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. I mean, we're hearing about all the splendor of Jesus. And it reminded me, a few weeks ago, I told you that we were going to the National Catholic Youth Conference. And there was one speaker there that he just totally captured the attention of everyone. His name was Father Tony Ricard, I think. He's the pastor of Our Lady Star of the Sea Parish in New Orleans. And his presentation started off with scenes of the devastation of his church and the area around him. And it's horrid just to see, and that it still continues. I think, at least for me who lives in upstate New York, we tend to think, oh, well, that was horrible, but things are probably getting back to normal. And for them, that's not the case. But the whole point, to get back to this, of his talk was that
You know, at Mass, every time we go to communion, we say, "Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed." And his point is that we get stuck in this, "We're not worthy, we're not worthy." But the fact is, if you read the beginning of John's Gospel, it says the word became flesh. And so we've received the word. And so we can stand firm that we are children of the mighty King, the King that we're celebrating this weekend. And that talk was so important to the kids, but also to me, because we hear a lot of talk about praise and, you know, you're so good at this and good at that, but it's not really heartfelt. Here we can believe that we are children of the living God, which is this whole, it's mind-boggling.
But that's an important thing, too, is those two readings together, I think, kind of give us a better image, because on the one hand, it is kind of a balancing act that we do. We do have the suffering Christ or the suffering servant of Isaiah or anything else. And on the other hand, you've got the splendor of Christ too. And you can't, you know, overemphasize one or accept one at the expense of the other, so to speak. That's usually how people fall into heresy, is when they say it's just Christ is human, or it's just as Christ is this divine figure who has all this glory. You have to have the whole thing held together, and there is a certain tension there. But you're right, there's that both elements need to be held together there. The kingly aspect of Christ suffering and putting his life at the service for us, but also all these, that what we talk about Christ when we talk about him being, you know, the firstborn of creation, first of the invisible God, and all that stuff that Paul mentions in the second reading today, all of that needs to be held together, you know, his dominion as well as his suffering, because otherwise you lose something. You overemphasize one or the other, and then you fall into heresy in some way or another. So I think that is an important element, you know, for us to try to keep together as we celebrate this feast.
This takes us a little bit away from the topic, but you were talking about the liturgical year and how now we're ending it. And the liturgical year does not exactly line up with our calendar year. But it might be helpful interesting for people to know that the church has three cycles of years, and they're, you know, nicely known as A, B, and C. How handy for that. And so we are just completing year C. This is the last weekend in year C. And starting next weekend when we start reading, we'll be in year A. And so we've just finished Luke's Gospel, and you'll have to help me out. Do we start with Matthew in year A?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that question. And I was not prepared to answer. I said, uh-oh, she's going to ask whose gospel is.
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive, but I'm not all the way. So that can be a good trivia question for next week. But in any event, that's interesting. So we read mainly from Matthew 1 year, Mark another year, and Luke another, the third year, and then John is interspersed within all three of them. Is that a correct assumption?
That is, John and Mark are usually done together. Mark's gospel is
Mark's
shorter.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And actually, I did just in the time that we were talking, I just did a quick look up, and it is Matthew's gospel that we will be going into. So you were right on that. I get those confused. Which one is which cycle? But yeah, Mark's is the shorter gospel, and so that works that way. And then, of course, we also have the liturgical seasons. When you were talking about we've got 3 years, we also have the seasons. And, of course, we start with Advent, and then we'll go into Christmas. Then we'll have Ordinary Time, and then we'll go into Lent. And then after Lent, we'll have Easter, of course. Then we'll have some more Ordinary Time after that. And then we will end the year again with Christ the King, as we are this year. And that's kind of how the liturgical cycle, like I said, it follows that whole flow of Jesus's life, from his birth to his public ministry, his growing up, his public ministry, his suffering and his death on the cross, the teachings that he taught the apostles, you know, after the resurrection. We have Pentecost and all of that. And then we go back into Ordinary Time, where we review his ministry a little more, you know, hopefully in light of now this whole resurrection that we experienced at Lent, and then it all culminates with Christ the King. And so I think that, you know, it's an important thing for all of us to understand, is that there is a flow to these readings that we hear. And it is important for us to, think about where we are in time in the liturgical season as we prepare. Sometimes it's easy for us to jump ahead of and go straight to Christmas, even forget about Advent in many ways. But it's important for us to spend that time right now to remember that we're coming to the end of the year. We're celebrating Christ as our King and say, how can we celebrate Christ as our King? How do we see him as King? And then, of course, as we enter into Advent next week, I'm sure, Dawn, you'll come and I'll come and we'll have some suggestions for how we can enter into Advent and celebrate that as a season rather than skipping over it and going straight to Christmas, which we tend to do. I've noticed the Christmas decorations out and Santa Claus is at the mall and everything already, but there's got to be a way in which we can focus on, our own seasonality, where we are in the season. And I'm also looking and seeing that our time is coming to an end. We spent most of the time talking about the seasons and things. I don't think that's a bad thing, but hopefully everyone will go to church and then they can hear a homily on the actual readings themselves too. And we hope that everyone will join us next week as we enter our second year of podcasting and begin Advent. Until then, we hope everybody has a good week and God bless.